Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Dalet, the 104th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. This is a far underrated Mizmor in Tehillim, and part of the reason is because it comes at a point in our davening when most people are rushing out of davening. And I would wager, unfortunately, that most people don't actually know how to say the words in this Mizmor properly because either they're rushing so much that they don't say it properly, and certainly not having the ability to be able to concentrate. So let's take a few minutes now to really appreciate just the magnificence of this Mizmor. This is the Mizmor which we call Barchi Nafshi, and it contains 35 psukim. We're going to look at this in a different framework than we usually do, rather than the five steps which we usually do. We're just going to look at it in terms of ideas. First, let's take a perspective of the breakdown of the Mizmor. It is divided into seven major sections. For the first section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Dalet, in which we describe the beauty of Hashem in the skies and the clouds. In a certain sense, the view is an aerial view from the top downwards. The second section runs from Sukkim Hay to Yud Beis, which now describes the dry land, the seas, the rivers, which Hashem established. This is the view from terra firma, from the earth. Then in the third step, we see the population of those formats or of those areas, where we talk about the vegetation and the mountain animals which live and the ecosystems which live within those sections. That's from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Yud Ches. And now we move into the cycle of nature. The fourth section is from Yud Tes to Chof Dalet, and how this all of nature works as an ecosystem together with itself. We then, in sections 5 and 6, do a perspective looking backwards, a review of the earlier section of section 3, where we talk about in the fifth section, Chof Hay to Chof Vov, a perspective of the ocean and its contents, and in section 6, Chof Zion to Lamed, we talk about the animal kingdom and the renewal in the animal kingdom needing Hashem in every aspect of life. These should be contrasted to the third section, which is Psukim Hay to Tes and Yud to Yud Ches, where these sections are reflective of Hashem's involvement in those domains in life. And finally, the last section of this Mizmor is section 7, where it talks about the happiness Hashem has with his creation, which is Lamed Aleph to Lamed Hay. So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of descriptions, and to really do this justice, we would need to spend a lot of time, and I would highly recommend listening to a shir I gave on this about called Barchi Nafshi in the Rockies, about a trip I took to the west, to Montana, and getting a chance to think about this Mizmor in the context of Glacier National Park. In the meantime, just a few basics to notice over here. First of all, this Mizmor is said between Mincha and Maariv in many shuls on a Shabbos afternoon. So Pirkei Avos is said during the summer, and Barchi Nafshi in the 15 Shir HaMaalos is said in many other shuls. The shul I grew up in did used to say this. And part of the reason is that Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. And as we remember the creation, we reflect on the different aspects of creation in our lives. Another minhag, of course, is to say it on Rosh Chodesh. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the people, the neshamos in Gan Eden, with tzaddikim, would say this on Rosh Chodesh. And our minhag is to say it. Part of it is we describe the natural cycle of the yoreach, lamoadim, the moon, which was used for the different festivals and time markers, which is why we say it now. There's a few ideas. I'd like to just explore six different ideas when looking at this Mizmor as a whole. Number one is the structure. On the one hand, it seems very haphazard. It seems that there is little structure which is winding its way through here. However, it is worthwhile noticing that there certainly is a lot of structure. So for instance, if you contrast sections 1 and 2, it describes creation, but from two different vantage points. So Psukim Aleph to Dalet is talking about the vantage point of from the heaven, and Psukim Ches to Yud Beis is from the perspective of terra firma, of earth. Then it talks about the population of both of these, which seems to follow the general process of creation itself, where there is the framework of creation, which is created, and into that is the population of the life, whether it be organic or inorganic life, which is the organic life, whether it be animal life or plant life, which populates those domains. So there is an order. It is harder to see. It is interesting to notice that the Midrash describes how the Midrash Rabbah in Bereshis, Yud Aleph, talks about Rabbi Berechia of Rabbi Dustai, who said the following. They said that every day of creation had a benzug, and Shabbos did not have a benzog. That means to say that every day of creation had a partner except for Shabbos, and therefore Hashem's made the partner of Shabbos B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel. What is interesting about this is the Vilna Gaon comments what days are partners with each other, which ones are holding hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. How does it work exactly? So the way that the Vilna Gaon explains it is that the days which are partners are day 1 and 4, 2 and 5, 3 and 6. Why is that? So if you think about this, day 1 is creating light and dark, and day 4 is ultimately giving in a certain sense context to that. Now you have the moon, the sun, those luminaries. Day 2 creates essentially the heavens, the celestial spheres, and the oceans. Day 5 populates both the oceans and the air with aquatic and avian life, which is very fascinating. Day 3 of creation, of course, brings forth the land itself, and day 6 populates that earth. So in a certain sense, day 1, 2, and 3 are the domains. Day 4, 5, and 6 are the populations of each of those respective domains, and that's what the Medrash is conveying to us, says the Vilna Gaon. And that's what seems to be happening in Baruch Hinavshi over here. We have the domains, the space, the framework, and we have that which populates it as well. And there seems to be a greater meta order for this. In fact, in Hamikra Kidmutoi, which is quoted by a certain Mem Weiss, he says a very interesting thing. And he says that, in fact, this is the symphony of life. We're not talking about specific creatures or specific landscapes. We're talking about how everything interplays, which is why there's a complexity to it, which leads us to idea number 3. Idea number 3 is the idea of the lack of structure in its voice modulation. In a certain sense, there's a voice which changes from future to present. There's a change of the directness of describing Hashem directly or intimately, whether we're asking Him specifically or we're describing Him from the outside. And the Da'at Mikra Rav Amos Chacham suggests that what is going on over here is this is the experience of a poet. He looks around at the world and everything he sees is just incredulous, it's miraculous, it's majestic. And he just wants to talk to Hashem, about every aspect of the world. So in a certain sense, the order and the structure of this mizmor, or the lack thereof to a certain degree, is also reflective of the human experience of that beauty that the human being is seeing. That is perhaps part of the beauty and the magnificence of the reality that this person is experiencing. Idea number 4 is boundaries. The Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, points out that order seems to be the main place of beauty, meaning to say when things work in their own silos as well, that's also an element of beauty. So at the beginning, we used to talk about the heavens and the earth, then the mountains and the valleys in Pasuk Ches, then Pasuk Tes, the sea and the land, and Pesukim Yud to Yud Gimel, is rain on the skies feeding the land, and springs from the ground feeding the land. The message is that Hashem controls the entire ecosystem, and that each aspect of creation has its place and has its course, has its tafkid. The Gemara in Chulin describes how the Rabbi Akiva would say, when he got to the Pasuk of Mara Buma Secha Hashem, he says it's an amazing thing. You have these large animals which exist and are so powerful at sea, they come on dry land and they die. You have animals which are so powerful on land, they go to the sea and they die. You have animals which live in dark caves and animals which live in the air. And if they were to interchange places, they would all die. Every creature, every system, every ecosystem supports its own. Just to add to what Rabbi Akiva was saying then, is when they introduce certain alien creatures or trees to different societies or to different countries and continents, the animals were not able to really consume the foliage in the same way that they were in their native territories. There's an incredible amount of complexity within each ecosystem, and that is the boundaries of each system. The fact that the earth is not overtaken by the sea and the sea remains within its boundaries, there is a lot of order in the actual domains. Idea number five is the idea of messengers. He talks about a lot in this mizmor. Oisei malachov ruchois mesharasov eish lohet. Talks about the divine messengers, these angels. What exactly are angels? One take on this is in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam, in the first chelek in Memtes, in Perek Memtes, where he describes, he says that they're not physical beings, they are forces within nature. They are Hashem's natural order, the natural, we'll call it, instinct of an animal, or the natural scientific rules, axioms, that underpin the actions, that underpin gravity, so the strong molecular force, the weak molecular force, the forces of gravity itself, the rules that nature obeys, these are all what the Rambam describes are malachim. These are angels. And therefore, there's a certain there's a certain divine plan which is coming to fruition within the nature itself. As an example, just to give fascinating a case in point, is that wildfires used to be seen as a bad thing. The lightning strikes, it's dry, it's the end of the wet season, and so it's too dry, the lightning hits, there's a wildfire, it destroys acres and acres of lands, and people used to try to always extinguish them. Today, the policy is actually not to extinguish them, because they realize that it's actually nature's way of actually clearing the way for future growth. There are certain pine cones which can only germinate their seeds when they are burnt. The resin is burnt and melted to the degree that they can open, which means to say the wildfire is part of the natural cause of the next generation. That's a remarkable idea. And this is what seems to be said over here in the idea of Oise Malachov Ruchois, Mesharasov Eish Lohet. Sometimes you have very different forces of nature which ultimately bring about the continuation of life. Idea number six, and that is the role of human beings. Where does the human being fit into this structure? So it is interesting, the human being is mentioned in Pasuk Chof Gimel, Yetze Adam Lefo Aloi Vala Avodah Soi Ade Orev. The human being goes out to his work in the evening and he comes back in the evenings. And the Radak points out that sometimes the human being is, on the one hand, is the person who is able to notice it. The rest of the creation is being. The human being is noticing the being. And that's actually the narrator. So to speak, the role of the human is being the narrator of Baruch Hinavshi, of noticing the life around them, and saying, Mara bo ma'asech Hashem. That's the point of the whole business. However, it's also possible that a human being can therefore go to work in the morning and come back in the evening and miss that next pasuk of Marabu Masech Hashem. It's very possible that a person keeps looking down and does not look up. A person will never notice the complexities and the beauty of nature and lives a very pedestrian lifestyle without ever seeing Hashem. That's perhaps one way the humans fit into it. Another aspect is harmony. The Meshech Chochma says on the pasuk Vavta, El Reacha Kamoicha, when you love your friend like yourself, Ani Hashem, the Meshech Chochma points out that Hashem is seen in harmony in this world, whether it be in nature, whether it be on the macro scale, on an intergalactic scale, or whether it be on a micro level. There's a lot of cohesion. There's a lot of working together. When humans are able to work together, that's when the ecosystem, so to speak, of humanity is also complete. And that's his role. Another possibility, a third possibility of where humans play into this is the absence of humanity. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes Amud Beis, going on to Yud Amud Aleph, describes how Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, who would say that David HaMelech said 103 parashios of Tehillim up till now, and he never said Halleluka up till now until he got to this last pasuk, which is Yitamu Chataim in Aretz Roshoim Oidei Nam Baruch Hinav Shiyas Hashem Halleluka. He praises Hashem when evil is removed from this planet. So what's the role of humanity? In a certain sense, is not getting in the way as well. Meaning to say, nature is perfect and pure. Humans sometimes mess themselves up, mess the world around them up. Yitamu Chataim in Aretz, when those who are messing the world up are removed or disappear at such a point, Halleluka, then David HaMelech is truly able to say Halleluka, which relates to the next Gemara, which is Rabbi Meir would pray for the downfall of Tesam Tiberioni, terrible people at his who lived in his neighborhood, and his wife reminded him that it says Yitamu Chataim. It doesn't mean to say choitim, the sinners themselves, but rather the actions. So we're not praying for the downfall of bad people, but the downfall of bad ideas. And I'll just close with one last comment, and that is that the Chida says very beautifully in a Kabbalistic way that ultimately the Sofei Tevois of Baruch Hinafshi Es Hashem, that means the last letters of those four words, have the gematria of Mashiach ben David, Imak Kolel. Which means to say that embedded into this is the hope for a better future, the hope for Mashiach, that ultimately when we're able to see the beauty of Hashem, when we're able to see the absence of evil, when we're able to see all the ecosystems working as they should and be able to recognize it, that ultimately is what Hashem wants from this planet. That's what Hashem wants from humanity. That's what Hashem wants from this universe. And that is Baruch Hinav Shiyas Hashem, which is ultimately the hope for the perfect time which Mashiach will yield in. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.